Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
The first knock came from inside the wall behind Ava's bed. She was 15 and old enough to know what pipes sounded like, especially in a house where the plumbing complained whenever someone ran the washing machine. This was different. Three slow knocks came from directly behind her pillow, paused, and then repeated. Ava moved to the far side of the mattress and listened. When the sound came again, she got up and went downstairs. Her parents, Melanie and Scott, were watching television in the living room. Scott muted it while Ava explained what she had heard. He followed her upstairs, pressed his ear against the wall, and waited. The room remained quiet. Scott checked the adjoining bathroom and the hallway closet on the other side of the wall. There were no exposed pipes, loose shelves, or anything else that could have caused the sound. He suggested it might have come from outside and seemed louder because Ava's bed was against the wall. She accepted the explanation because she wanted one. The knocking returned the next night shortly after midnight. This time it came from the wall beside her desk. Ava turned on every light in the room and recorded several minutes on her phone, but the sound stopped whenever she tried to capture it. By morning, she was tired and irritable. Melanie noticed but assumed it had something to do with school. Ava had been quieter for the past few weeks and had stopped talking about several friends she once mentioned constantly. Whenever her parents asked whether something was wrong, she insisted she was only tired. The knocks continued for four nights. Sometimes Ava heard them beside her bed. Other times, they seemed to move along the walls or come from the ceiling. They were never loud enough to wake her parents down the hall, and they always stopped when Ava went to get them. Scott inspected the attic and checked for animals. He found no droppings, disturbed insulation, or openings large enough for anything to enter. He went outside after dark and watched the roof line, wondering whether a branch was striking the house, but the nearest tree was several feet away. Melanie began to suspect Ava was hearing the normal settling noises of the house and focusing on them because she was already nervous. She suggested moving the bed away from the wall. Ava helped rearrange the furniture, although the change didn't seem to reassure her. That night, there was no knocking. Instead, Ava woke to the sound of something sliding across her desk. Her phone was moving toward the edge. She watched it travel several inches before dropping to the floor. The charger remained plugged into the wall, but the cord had been pulled tight. Ava stared at it, too frightened to move. Then a cup filled with pens tipped over beside her computer. She ran into her parents' room. Scott returned with her and examined the desk. The surface was slightly uneven, but not enough to make a phone slide on its own. The cup had stood near the back, well beyond the area where the charging cord could have caught it. Ava spent the remainder of the night on the couch. The next morning, Scott leveled the desk and replaced the cup with a heavier container. Melanie wondered whether Ava had bumped the furniture while half asleep, but Ava was certain she had been awake when the phone moved. The activity didn't remain confined to nighttime. 2 days later, Melanie heard a crash upstairs while Ava was getting ready for school. She found her daughter standing in the middle of the bedroom, staring at the floor. Several books had fallen from a shelf, but they hadn't landed beneath it. They were scattered across the room, with one lying near the doorway. Ava said she hadn't touched them. Melanie checked the shelf and found it securely attached to the wall. The remaining books stood upright and nothing else in the room had moved. She helped Ava pick them up and noticed that her daughter's hands were trembling. For the first time, Melanie wondered whether something more serious was happening. Not something paranormal, but something with Ava. She asked again about school and whether anyone had been bothering her. Ava became defensive and accused her mother of treating her as though she had caused the disturbance. That wasn't what Melanie meant, but the question ended the conversation. Ava grabbed her backpack and left without eating breakfast. The tension followed them through the day. Melanie tried calling Ava after school, but the call went to voicemail. Scott reminded her that Ava had stayed late for a study session, something she had been doing more often recently. When Ava finally came home, she went directly upstairs and closed her door. A few minutes later, it slammed hard enough to shake the hallway. Melanie went upstairs, prepared to tell Ava that no matter how upset she was, she couldn't slam doors in the house. She found Ava struggling with the handle from inside her room. The door wouldn't open. Scott came up behind Melanie and tried the handle. It turned, but the door remained fixed in place. There was no lock and nothing had fallen behind it. Ava began pulling from her side while Scott pushed from the hallway. The door suddenly released. Scott stumbled forward and nearly fell into the room. Ava backed away from him, frightened and angry. She insisted she hadn't closed the door. It had slammed on its own while she was setting down her backpack. Scott removed the handle and checked the latch. Nothing was broken, bent, or caught. The door opened and closed normally. That evening, the three of them sat in the living room and discussed what had been happening. Scott still believed there had to be a physical explanation, although he could no longer offer one that accounted for everything. Melanie wanted Ava to sleep in the guest room until they understood what was wrong. Ava refused. She said changing rooms would make it feel as though something had driven her out of her own space. Her parents reluctantly agreed, but Scott left the door partially open and told her to wake them at the first sound. For several hours, the house remained quiet. Shortly after 1 a.m, Melanie woke to a heavy thud. A second followed before she was fully out of bed. She and Scott reached Ava's room at the same time. Ava was sitting upright with both hands gripping the edge of the mattress. The bed trembled beneath her, not violently, but enough to make the wooden frame strike the wall in a steady rhythm. Scott rushed forward and pulled the bed away from the wall. The knocking continued. It wasn't coming from the frame, and the mattress was moving. Ava scrambled off the bed and into Melanie's arms. The moment her feet touched the floor, the movement stopped. The three of them stood together in the doorway, staring at the motionless bed. Scott checked beneath it, then lifted the mattress and examined the frame. There was nothing there. Ava slept between her parents for the rest of the night. In the morning, none of them tried to explain what they had seen. For the next 2 nights, Ava slept in her parents' room. Nothing unusual happened while she was there. Her bedroom remained empty, and Scott checked it several times, almost hoping he would hear the knocking himself. The silence made him question what they had witnessed, but Melanie could still see the mattress trembling beneath their daughter. On the third morning, Scott set up a small camera in Ava's room. He positioned it to show the bed, desk, and doorway. Ava disliked the idea, but he explained that a recording might help them understand what was causing the movement. The camera captured nothing unusual until shortly after 2 a.m, when the feed suddenly went dark. Scott found the camera unplugged. The cord hadn't fallen from the outlet. It was lying several feet away, stretched toward the center of the room. After that, Ava refused to sleep upstairs. Her parents allowed her to make a temporary bedroom in the den, but the change didn't stop the activity. The following evening, Melanie was preparing dinner when a cabinet opened behind her. She closed it, assuming it hadn't latched properly. A few seconds later, it opened again. The hinges weren't loose and the cabinet didn't tilt forward. Melanie pushed the door firmly into place. It remained closed until Ava entered the kitchen. As she walked past, it flew open hard enough to strike the cabinet beside it. Ava immediately asked whether her mother thought she had done it. Melanie assured her she didn't, but Ava had begun to feel that every strange event made her parents look at her differently. The activity continued through the week. Drawers opened in the upstairs bathroom, knocking moved from Ava's bedroom into the hallway. And a dining room chair shifted while no one was near it. The disturbances always seemed stronger around Ava. When she was calm, the house might remain quiet for most of the day. When she came home upset or argued with her parents, doors slammed and objects moved. Scott noticed the pattern but didn't know how to discuss it without making Ava feel responsible. Melanie tried one evening after another cabinet door opened. She asked whether Ava had noticed that the activity became worse when she was angry. Ava heard the question as an accusation. She insisted she wasn't touching anything and demanded to know why her parents didn't believe her. Melanie said she did believe her, but Ava was already crying. She rushed upstairs and slammed her bedroom door. This time, everyone knew she had closed it herself. A second later, something struck the wall inside her room. Scott reached the hallway as another impact shook the door. He opened it and found Ava backed against the far wall. A lamp that had been sitting on her nightstand lay broken near the doorway. Before anyone could move, a framed photograph lifted from the dresser and struck the opposite wall. The glass shattered across the carpet. Scott pulled Ava into the hallway. Melanie closed the door and the three hurried downstairs. The pounding continued above them for nearly a minute before stopping. Ava was inconsolable. She asked what was wrong with her and whether whatever was in the house wanted to hurt her. Her parents assured her that none of it was her fault, but the words sounded weak when they had no idea what was happening. The following day, Scott arranged to have the electrical system and heating equipment inspected. He also checked the attic again for animals or anything loose inside the walls. None of it explained the moving objects or the bed shaking. Each ordinary possibility disappeared, leaving the family with answers they didn't want to consider. Melanie began searching online late at night. She read about hauntings, sleep disturbances, and people who unknowingly moved objects during periods of stress. Most of what she found either seemed too extreme or didn't match their experience, and then she came across the term poltergeist. The descriptions were uncomfortably familiar. Knocking, doors opening, furniture moving, and objects being thrown. Many reports centered on adolescents experiencing intense emotional stress. Some researchers believe the activity wasn't caused by a spirit at all, but by unconscious energy released by the person at its center. Melanie read several versions of the theory before waking Scott. His first reaction was anger. Ava was already frightened that something was wrong with her, and he didn't want anyone suggesting she was causing it. Melanie felt the same way, but she couldn't ignore the pattern. The activity had begun in Ava's bedroom. It became stronger when she was upset. Moving her to another room hadn't stopped it. That didn't mean Ava was doing anything deliberately. It might mean she needed help. Melanie found a woman less than an hour away who had worked with families reporting similar activity. She wasn't a medium and didn't advertise exorcisms or cleansing rituals. Her background was in counseling, although she had spent years studying reports of poltergeist cases. Melanie sent her a brief message describing what had happened. The response arrived the following morning. The woman was willing to meet with them, but she wanted the family to understand one thing before she came. If the activity centered on Ava, their daughter wasn't the threat inside the house. She was the person most in need of protection. The woman came to the house 2 days later. Before speaking with Ava, she met with the family together and asked them to describe each incident in the order it happened. She listened without interrupting and didn't question whether they had actually seen the mattress move or the photograph leave the dresser. She also didn't claim the house was haunted. Poltergeist activity, she explained, was a description of what was happening rather than an explanation for it. The word covered disturbances involving knocks, moving furniture, opening doors, and thrown objects. Some people believed a spirit caused them. Others thought intense emotions could somehow produce physical effects, often around adolescents. Neither theory had been proven. Scott asked how stress could throw a lamp across a room. The woman admitted she couldn't answer that. She only knew that in many reported cases, the activity became stronger during periods of conflict and eventually weakened when the person at its center felt safer. Ava listened with her arms folded tightly across her chest. She wanted to know whether the woman believed she was doing it. The woman told her that deliberately throwing an object and being present when an object moved were not the same thing. Whatever the cause, no one was accusing Ava of controlling it. She asked to speak with Ava alone. Melanie and Scott hesitated, but Ava agreed. Her parents went into the kitchen while the woman remained with her in the living room. They could hear the low murmur of conversation, but couldn't make out the words. Nearly 20 minutes passed before a heavy knock struck the wall behind them. Melanie and Scott looked at each other. Another knock came from the ceiling, followed by a third from somewhere near the staircase. They hurried into the living room. Ava was crying. The woman sat across from her, calm but watchful. She assured Melanie and Scott that Ava was safe, but before anyone could say more, a picture near the stairs tilted sideways. The frame lifted away from the wall and dropped straight to the floor. No one was standing near it. The glass didn't break, but the sound brought Ava to her feet. She begged them to make it stop. Almost immediately, a series of impacts traveled across the ceiling toward the second floor. The woman told the family to go outside. They stood together in the front yard while the pounding continued faintly inside. Scott wanted to re-enter the house, but the woman urged him to wait. After several minutes, the sounds stopped. Ava had begun shaking. Melanie put her arms around her, and this time Ava didn't pull away. What she revealed came slowly. Several months earlier, Ava had argued with a girl who had been her closest friend since middle school. The disagreement itself had been minor, but the girl shared private messages Ava had sent during a difficult period. Other students passed around screenshots, added comments, and turned them into jokes. Ava had initially believed the situation would fade if she ignored it. Instead, several girls she considered friends stopped sitting with her and removed her from a group chat. Anonymous messages began appearing on her phone. Some were cruel, while others warned that more private conversations would be shared if she told anyone. The study sessions Ava claimed to attend after school didn't exist. She had been staying in the library because she dreaded riding the bus with the same students. She hadn't told her parents because she was ashamed and afraid they would contact the school, making everything worse. The knocking had begun during one of the worst weeks. Melanie felt guilty for not realizing how much Ava was carrying. Scott was angry at the students, the school, and himself, but the woman warned them not to let that anger become another burden Ava had to manage. Their daughter needed to know that the situation wasn't her fault and that she wouldn't face it alone. Nothing else happened while they stood outside. When they returned to the house, the woman walked through each room with them. She didn't perform a cleansing or attempt to communicate with a spirit. She suggested removing anything breakable from Ava's room, continuing to document the disturbances, and having the family leave the immediate area if objects began moving. More importantly, she recommended that Ava speak with a licensed counselor and that her parents work with the school to stop the harassment. Whether the activity was psychological, paranormal, or something no one understood, reducing Ava's fear was the safest place to begin. Scott remained uneasy with the idea that his daughter's emotions could affect objects. Melanie wasn't convinced either. It seemed impossible, but no more impossible than the things they had already witnessed. That night, Ava slept in her parents' room again. A few knocks came from upstairs shortly after midnight, but nothing moved. The next morning, Melanie contacted the school. Ava was terrified that the harassment would worsen, so they agreed on each step before taking it. The school counselor met with her privately, and administrators began investigating the messages. Several students had saved the screenshots and could confirm what had happened. The process wasn't quick, and it didn't solve everything immediately. Ava lost friendships she had believed would last for years. For a while, she dreaded going to school and became anxious whenever her phone received a notification. Her parents arranged counseling and stopped pressing her to explain every feeling before she was ready. The activity weakened gradually. There were still knocks in the walls, especially after difficult days. A drawer opened by itself once and Ava's bedroom door slammed while she was downstairs. Nothing else was thrown, and the bed never moved again. After several quiet weeks, Ava returned to her bedroom. Scott left the camera in place, but it never captured anything unusual. Eventually, Ava asked him to remove it. By the end of the school year, the disturbances had nearly stopped. Ava was doing better, although her parents understood that recovery wasn't as simple as saying the problem had been handled. She had begun spending time with different friends and no longer stayed late at school to avoid going home. The last incident occurred on an evening when Ava received a message from one of the girls who had tormented her. It wasn't an apology. The girl wanted Ava to stop telling people what had happened and blamed her for the consequences at school. Ava read the message at the kitchen table while Melanie sat beside her. A cabinet door opened across the room. Both of them looked at it. For a moment, Melanie expected it to fly back against the wall or for something nearby to be thrown. Instead, the cabinet remained open. Ava took a slow breath, blocked the number, and handed the phone to her mother. Melanie crossed the room and closed the cabinet. Nothing else happened. The family never determined whether the activity had come from Ava or whether something in the house had taken advantage of her fear. The woman who helped them believed either possibility remained open. Emotional distress might have produced the disturbances, or it might simply have made Ava more vulnerable to something already there. Melanie and Scott stopped searching for a definite answer. They had seen enough to know the activity was real, but understanding its cause became less important than understanding what their daughter had endured. Ava had insisted for weeks that she was fine because she believed keeping everything inside would prevent the situation from becoming worse. Instead, something inside that house had given all of that fear a voice. And when Ava no longer had to carry it alone, the house finally became quiet.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.